Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, today is a special Sunday that I've been looking forward to for lots of reasons, and not only because the Atlanta Braves are on the cusp of winning the World Series. Come on. Yeah. But even more reason to celebrate, it's also our observance of All Saints Day, which is a feast day in our church calendar that I especially love. And as Dean Michael already mentioned, in our earlier service this morning, we celebrated baptisms, which is always a special celebratory occasion. And we're talking about a worthy word on this All Saints Day that I'm especially excited about. This is the last Sunday in our Worthy Words sermon series. So for the last 7 weeks, we've been examining these important words that we often see in Scripture and we often hear about, but we don't, unfortunately, often understand. Our worthy word this week is sanctification, and unlike previous weeks, I'm not going to give you the definition up front. So if you want to fill in that blank that you see in your bulletin, hold on to your pen and listen closely, because it's going to come in a few moments. So this worthy word, sanctification, unfortunately is a concept that doesn't always get a lot of attention in our modern day. Even in the broader, larger church community, what often draws headlines is the latest scandal or the latest controversy. Eugene Peterson says it poignantly this way in one of his books. He says, "There is little to admire and less to imitate in the people who are prominent in our culture. We have celebrities, but not saints. Famous entertainers amuse a nation of bored insomniacs." Wow. "Neither the adventure of goodness nor the pursuit of righteousness gets headlines. We have celebrities, but not saints." So on this All Saints Day and throughout our church year, we would do well to pay more attention to the saints. Eugene Peterson says poignantly in another book, I really like reading Eugene Peterson books, as you can tell, he writes this, "There is a great market for religious experience in our world, but there is little enthusiasm for the patient acquisition of virtue, little inclination to sign up for a long apprenticeship in what earlier generations of Christians called holiness. The pursuit of holiness, unfortunately, doesn't always draw a crowd, but as we're going to see this morning, it's something that God is calling all of us to. So we would do well to give this worthy word, sanctification, more energy." And today, on a baptism Sunday and All Saints Day, it's the perfect day to think about, to give attention to saints, and to give energy to this idea of sanctification, because these two words, saints and sanctification, are actually related in an important way. Maybe you even hear it in the words themselves. Listen again and see if you hear it. Saint and sanctification. Do you hear the resemblance there? Both these words actually come from the same Latin word, the Latin word sanctus. Y'all say that with me. Sanctus. There we go. Now, if you've been worshiping in Anglican contexts for a little while, you might be thinking, sanctus, that sounds familiar, like I've heard that before or seen that before, right? If you're thinking that, then you're absolutely right, because every single week in our communion liturgy, usually in our tradition, we sing the sanctus together. It's this hymn of adoration that we join with angels and archangels in singing together. Holy, 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 Lord God of power and might. Now, do you know why this song of adoration is called the sanctus? Because the Latin word sanctus means holy, right? Holy, holy, holy. Or in Latin, we would say or sing sanctus, sanctus, sanctus. The word sanctus, Latin, means holy. So this Latin word sanctus is where we get our words saint and sanctification. So a saint is someone who is holy, a holy one. A saint is someone who is distinct. That's what holy means. It's someone who is distinct, something that's different, something that's sacred in a sense, something that's set apart in a special way. That's what a saint is, a holy one. And we see this clearly in today's readings, which, by the way, the readings for All Saints Day might be my favorite set of readings in the whole church year. I love this picture that we see of the saints, the holy ones, in Revelation chapter 7, a picture of the great multitude of saints from every nation, tribe, people, and language gathered around the throne, worshiping the Lord. There's an important feature that I want to point out to you, specifically in Revelation 7, verse 9. So you feel free to flip back in your bulletin to the first lesson. In verse 9, we see, "Behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes." Do you hear that? It's poignant energy, poignant imagery that we can fill our imaginations with this scene of the saints gathered around the throne. And did you pick up on what clothes they were wearing? Clothed in white robes. So what's with this imagery? What's with this symbolism? Well, we see clearly in verse 14 that question is answered for us. So look at verse 14, Revelation chapter 7. "They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. This is a picture of holiness. The saints gathered around the throne worshiping the Lord, the holy ones, they're clothed in white, beautiful, pure, shimmering robes because of the blood of the Lamb. Now listen closely to this good news, and let me bring it home, make it personal. This is, if you are in Christ, this is a picture of you. We can, because of Jesus, we can bring our filthy garments. We can bring our sin and our disobedience, the messes that we make of our own lives. We can bring our filthy garments to the Lord in faith. We can bring ourselves to Jesus, and we can be washed, purified, cleansed, made holy, clothed with his brilliant, pure, white, beautiful robes. It's only by the blood of the Lamb that we can be washed in this way, that we can experience this wholeness and this holiness. Jesus is the Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world. And as the perfect, unblemished, holy Lamb of God, he is the ultimately holy one. And yet, he did not deserve it. He died for you. And though you do not deserve it, you can receive forgiveness through his blood. Through his holy life, you can receive holiness. You can be clothed in his righteousness, his pure, undefiled, spotless, white, shimmering robes. You can trade your filthy garments for those holy, clean robes. You are clothed in Christ's righteousness. You're holy. You are, in Christ, a saint. You're a saint. We see this in a vivid way in the sacrament of baptism, which we got to see this morning. Water in baptism is an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. An inward and spiritual grace that in Christ you are cleansed. In Christ you are purified. In Christ you're made whole and holy. You're a saint. You're a holy one. Sanctus, holy. So sanctification also comes from this Latin word sanctus, holy. So what does sanctification mean? It means living into our sainthood. Living into our holiness, living into who we are in Jesus. Sanctification means becoming like Jesus, the Holy One, growing in holiness and becoming more and more like Jesus. Sanctification is living into the promises that we make in our baptism. In fact, in our baptism liturgy, we see the two essential elements of sanctification, two essential elements of sanctification. First, sanctification involves dying to sin. And second, sanctification involves living to righteousness. And I want to show you these things in our baptism liturgy this morning. So first, sanctification means dying to sin. Becoming more like Jesus, growing more whole and holy, means moving away from sin. So we see this all over the place throughout the scriptures. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, abstain from every form of evil. The Apostle Paul also writes in Romans chapter 6, let not therefore sin reign in your mortal body. James says in James chapter 4, verse 7, resist the devil. And these are the promises that we make in our baptism, that we'll flee from sin, that we'll turn from sin. One Puritan writer says it clearly. He says, be killing sin, or it will be killing you. Be killing sin, or it will be killing you. So I want to show you in our baptism service, so you can see it with your own eyes. So the baptism service, these bulletins aren't the baptism service, because that already happened today. But fortunately, we have prayer books all over this place. So underneath the chair in front of you, there should be a red book. I want you to grab that. It's the Book of Common Prayer. It's got a nice, beautiful Jerusalem cross on the front cover. So grab the prayer book and turn to page 164. This is our baptism service, page 164 in the Book of Common Prayer. And on page 164, do you see the heading that says Profession of Faith? Do you see that? Yes? A few of you? Yeah? Profession of Faith. So under that section, Profession of Faith, these promises we're making in our baptism, there are two sets of three questions. And the first set of three questions involves things that you're turning away from. It involves our dying to sin in our sanctification. So look at those questions. The first set of three questions under Profession of Faith. Do you renounce the devil and all the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God? Do you renounce the empty promises and deadly deceits of this world, which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God? Do you renounce the sinful desires of the flesh that draw you from the love of God? Do you see that? Dying to sin, sanctification, becoming like Jesus, growing in holiness, living into our baptismal promises. Now, of course, this doesn't mean that in this life we'll rid ourselves of sin completely, but it does mean that as followers of Jesus, becoming like Jesus, we'll grow progressively in holiness as we walk with the Lord. As we walk with the Lord, becoming like Christ, we die to sin. And then secondly, another important element of our sanctification is living to righteousness. Keep your prayer book open, because we're going to keep looking at it in just a minute. In Galatians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul lays out what he calls the fruit of the Spirit, righteous attributes that progressively grow in the Christian's life through the inward work of the Holy Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And if you read the Gospels, it won't take you long to realize that one really important thing that Jesus wants in the lives of his disciples is obedience. You might remember how Jesus closes out the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7. He gives a parable about the foolish man who builds his house on what? On the sand, right? And the wise man who builds his house on the rock. And if you remember the parable, the foolish man is the person who hears Jesus' word and does not do them, is not obedient. The wise man who builds his house on the rock is the person who hears Jesus' word and obeys. Jesus expects that we as his disciples, that we as his followers, will grow in obedience to him. This is what it means to live to righteousness. And we make these promises in our baptism. So there are the first three sets of questions, the first three questions, and then there's a prayer, and then there's three more questions. Look at those three questions with me. These questions are things that we're committing to turn towards, to live to righteousness. So we promise to turn to Jesus, to confess him as our Lord and Savior, to joyfully receive the Christian faith as revealed in the Holy Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, and to obediently, there's that important word, obediently keep God's holy will and commandments and walk in them all the days of our lives. So sanctification, becoming like Jesus, dying to sin, turning away from sin, and turning to Jesus, living to righteousness. Sanctification. So let me close very briefly by answering an important question that maybe is in your head, which is how, right? This sounds great. How do I go about this important work of sanctification, dying to sin, living to righteousness? Well, thanks for asking. And it's all right there in our baptism service. It's all right in our baptism service. So first of all, if you've seen a baptism here at Holy Cross, maybe you remember that there's lots of people standing around whoever's being baptized, typically called sponsors or godparents. And the symbolism there, the important truth there, is that in our sanctification, to grow, to become more and more like Jesus, we need other people. We need the church. We can't do it alone. So when we're baptized, we don't stand alone. We stand with others who are committing to journeying with us. And as we journey, as we grow closer and closer to Jesus, become more and more like him, as we're sanctified more and more, we cannot do that alone. We need the church. And in our baptism liturgy, in fact, the church commits to walking alongside those being baptized. We vow to walk with them as they try to carry out these baptism promises. So I challenge you to commit to dig deep roots here, to build friendships here or at another godly church. Get to know people. Don't go at it alone. No one stands alone. Secondly, how do you pursue sanctification in your life? You can't do it alone. You need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. We can only die to sin and live to righteousness as we experience the Holy Spirit's power working in our life. Our affection for sin will decrease, and our affection and love for the Lord will increase only as the Spirit does work inside of our hearts. So you need the Holy Spirit. So ask God to bless you with the presence, with the ministry, the inner transformation of his Holy Spirit. So sanctification, our last worthy word in this Worthy Words sermon series, is becoming like Jesus through dying to sin and living to righteousness as we journey with one another, not standing alone, and as the Holy Spirit works inside of our lives. Holy, holy, holy. May we grow in holiness more and more. May you grow more and more in Jesus Christ as you become more and more like him, dying to sin, living to righteousness, experiencing sanctification in your life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.